turn that on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. And I will begin for this morning in verse 5. I've read it several times, but we'll read that again. We'll read about three verses here, I think 5, 6, and 7. Well, as we will see in these three verses, there is a very familiar refrain. Paul asked the question in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? And then he gives the answers, but ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered. And Paul is using an illustration here. That's quite clear. I have planted, Apollos watered, but then he states this, it's in another way, but it's the same truth. But God gave the increase. This is very similar to what he's just said. We are ministers by whom we believe, but it's what? Even as the Lord gave to every man.
Amen.
I planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God gave the increase. So then Paul's summary of this is as follows. So we don't have to wonder, what did Paul really mean by that?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, the words are quite clear, but then Paul is moved by the Spirit to summarize because he says, what? So then. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Now there is a reason why this is so.
Yeah.
Because God is the one who calls the planter and the waterer.
Yes, sir.
God is not dependent upon the planter and the waterer.
That's right.
Now, sadly, most of so-called Christianity today makes God dependent upon the planter or the waterer.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, our Lord said to that one group, what was it they told the disciples, said to tell these people to shut up, you know, to be quiet. And our Lord said, if these people keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
Exactly.
And the reason is because God had ordained at that time Jesus Christ to be honored and glorified through men's words.
Yes, sir.
And you see, God is going to put his message and get his message across. He is not dependent upon men. Men are dependent upon him.
Amen.
Paul says, I guess, well, it's actually in 2 Corinthians when he wrote the second letter, when it comes to this thing of preaching the gospel, we are not sufficient.
Exactly.
He's saying the same thing again, Mason. He said, our sufficiency is of God.
Yes.
Now this common idea today that God is so grateful for the men and women who win souls is nothing more than free will religion gone awry.
Exactly.
It's not just carnality, as manifest in the Corinthian believers here. David, it's just not carnality. It's the natural man trying to supplant the truth with his own religion.
Exactly.
And that's what it is.
That's it.
Let us not be too loose here and think that when people give credit to men for other men's salvation, that's not mere carnality as Paul expresses here. That is nothing more than a lie straight from the pits of hell.
Exactly.
Because Paul's summary is this, so then neither is he that planteth anything. Why? Because God will choose who he wants to plant and who he wants to water.
Yes, sir.
And somebody says, well, what if that one won't plant? God's got one that will.
Exactly.
Because he's going to make that person willing in the day of his power.
Yes, sir.
Not that there are willing people out there and God knows who to pick. There are none willing out there until God picks them and makes them willing.
Exactly.
So when it boils, everything is boiled down. When you boil all of the liquid away from this thing here Paul's talking about, when it comes to a planter and a waterer, they are what? Nothing. Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
So that's what I want to try to concentrate upon at least this morning. It may take longer than just this morning. I want to kind of leave behind the idea of carnality now. We've looked at that. We've talked about that, other than just to reiterate this. Anytime we boast on a man, a person, a human, anytime we boast upon a fallen creature, it doesn't matter who we are, that's carnality.
Yeah.
It's carnality. And it doesn't matter how spiritual we are, put that in quotes. To boast upon men is carnality. There is but one man that is to be boasted upon.
Yeah.
And that is the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So Paul then, of course, now Paul was giving this in the context of these Corinthians walking fleshly, walking like mere men and not walking as spiritual men and women. But yeah, that's not what I want to talk about this morning. I want to look at this phrase and these statements Paul makes. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Now we say he is... So then neither, that puts it in the negative when he sums it up. So then neither is he that planteth anything.
Yeah.
Here Paul is summarizing, who does it really depend upon?
Yes.
That's what he's summarizing. Because he goes on to say, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Yes, sir.
And Mason, we are to take as serious business that which God has called us to do.
Yes, sir.
This is not some flippant thing. Well, if I don't do it, somebody else will.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the attitude with which we are to engage in the preaching of the gospel. Nevertheless, when it boils right down to credit, who gets the honor, who gets the glory, it is always answered, it is God that gives the increase.
Amen.
Those that plant and those that water, they're nothing.
Yeah.
By comparison,
exactly.
They are nothing. But Paul then first then asks the question, who is Paul and who is Apollos? And he answers the question, but ministers by whom ye believed. And why is this so? Mm-hmm. Now you know the only reason why it's so?
Yeah.
Because God ordained it to be that way.
Amen.
Now, God could have given each and every one of us a special revelation by dream.
Oh, yeah.
Had he been so pleased to. But that is not the way God ordained to operate in this thing of the preaching of the gospel.
Exactly.
And Paul's quite clear, what is it? Romans chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
which I'm going to call the foundation text to this truth which Paul states here. Who is Paul and who is Apollos? What have they to do with anything? Well, there is a place that men play here.
Yes, sir.
They are ministers, and that word ministers, you know what that means, don't you? That means servants.
Yep.
That's the word it's talking about. But ministers by whom you believed. But let me stop before we go back to Romans 10 and let's say this is only as in the context which Paul reveals in Romans 10.
Mm-hmm.
One man does not give another man the ability to believe.
Exactly.
Now that is not what Paul is saying when he says, but ministers by whom ye believed.
That's right.
He's not saying Paul gave you the ability to believe. Or that is, Apollos gave you the ability to believe. Because clearly he says what? He qualifies that statement immediately, right?
Yes.
Even as the Lord gave to every man. And then again when he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, he again does what? Qualifies the statement, but God gave the increase.
Yeah.
How is it that any man is a minister by which another man or woman would believe? It is only in the sense of Romans chapter 10. Where, for the sake of time, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Roman believers, in verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes, sir.
Now again, Paul is a what I call a constant qualifier. He constantly qualifies phrases or statements that he makes so as that Mason to leave no doubt. At least objectively, there is no doubt as to what the Apostle Paul means here.
That's right.
Now, does this mean Because after all, it uses the word whosoever.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to shock anybody here too bad. I didn't say I don't want to shock anybody. I said I don't want to shock anybody too bad. But in none of the Greek nowhere, no matter what Greek you look at, whether it's Greek fragments or Greek text gathered from those fragments, the Greek nowhere ever has the word whosoever. It just does not exist. That is man's way of expressing the word for everyone who.
Exactly.
That's the way it would be literally rendered. Now, whosoever is not a bad word.
No, it's not.
But the problem is the majority of people have so structured the meaning of that word that when people hear whosoever shall call, what they hear is everybody can if they just will.
Exactly.
They, in other words, when people hear the word whosoever, they think not of this is for everyone who does,
yeah,
but rather they think everyone can.
Exactly. That's it.
And whosoever has nothing to do with man's ability. Nothing to do with man's ability.
Right.
It has to do with for whosoever what? Shall call. Upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So does that mean just anyone out here in the world just says, Lord, save me, then automatically they're saved? Is that what that means? No. It doesn't mean that. And yet that's what happens day in and day out, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And you've got people who walk into assemblies, first time they ever been there. It may have been the first time they ever heard the Word of God preached, if the Word of God is indeed being preached even. But this is the first time they've ever been there, the first time they've ever heard the Word of God. They come forward and say, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven, I want to be saved. They say, well, call on the name of the Lord. And this person knows nothing about God, nothing about their sin, nothing about their depravity. But yet they're told, pray this prayer, call upon the name of the Lord. Is that what Paul means by this? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is calling upon the name of the Lord kind of like some magical incantation that we can quote and magically we end up saved? No. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So you've got to believe before calling will avail anything. Right? And what is Paul establishing here? He is establishing, and I'm going to use a word that in the context of our text is not a proper word, but it's one of the better words I know. But Paul is talking about the natural order of things here.
Mm-hmm.
How God has ordained for things to be. Now, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, but they must call having believed in him first.
Yes, sir.
They can't just hear a few things about him and then make some statement, God save me, I'm a sinner,
yeah,
and everything's okay. They have to what? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Exactly.
You see, we, Mason, don't just wake up one morning knowing all about Jesus Christ. We learn about the person and work of Jesus Christ through hearing the Word of God declared.
Yes, sir.
That's why there is a sense in which it's proper to say it's a good thing to be here.
Yes, sir.
Because being here is where the Word of God, specifically the person and work of Jesus Christ, is proclaimed as the central theme of all of God's Word. Here is where men and women can hear. They can hear, Joe, about the Savior,
yes,
about the Lord. Because they're not going to believe in him unless they first what? Hear. They can't believe in him. And if they believe on him, then they are enabled to call upon him.
Exactly.
Now, I know this may be contrary to some men's opinions because they may find an example or two in Scripture, but I don't think they take their examples far enough. It is not a matter of someone just walking into this building, hearing one message, and then all of a sudden everything's done for them. They call on the name of the Lord and they're saved. Now, it is true that we have, and I'll mention this passage more later on, but we have a passage that speaks of a woman named Lydia in the city of Thyatira, who was a seller of purple. That is, she dyed cloth purple, and she sold this cloth. And she went down to the riverbank where prayer was wont to be made. And all we can read into this is what it actually says.
Yeah.
We cannot read into it more than what is said. It simply said there was a place by the riverbank where people gathered together to what? Pray. Now this woman gathered where all these other groups of people gathered to pray. But this woman is singled out, and we're told about it in a public way, but it was private to her. She was a woman which worshipped God.
Amen.
But I have no reason to believe, David, she'd ever heard of Jehovah God ever before. Through any man preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She may have knew of the scriptures. She may knew of the Jewish religion. She was not a Jewish proselyte. She was a Gentile woman, a seller of purple. Mason, she never attended synagogue. She went out by the riverbank where people gathered to pray. But Luke in writing says, qualifies it, which worshiped God. And it says, whose heart the Lord opened.
Amen.
But for what purpose?
Exactly.
It says, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul.
Amen.
Therefore, we see an exact illustration. Who is Paul but a minister by whom ye believed?
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
She listened to what Paul said and attended unto it. That means, and let me turn back there because I have it written down in that passage. What is it? Acts chapter 16. The place I was reading from was actually verse 14. And notice, let me just read it. And a certain woman. I like that.
Yeah.
Don't you? And a certain woman.
Amen.
And a certain woman named Lydia. Why was she named Lydia? Somebody said, that's what name her parents liked. No, that's the name God had purposed to give her.
Amen.
From before the foundation of the world.
Yes,
and in her probably having never changed her name, that's probably the name that God wrote down in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. Lydia. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So here Paul was a minister by whom she believed, right?
Yeah.
But who gave the increase? Mm-hmm. Why is it that she believed? Was it because of Paul? No. It says, whose heart the Lord opened.
Amen.
That she attended. That means to hold one's mind toward. That's that word attend to. To hold the mind towards. To apply oneself to. To give great heed to. Now you got some people running around saying, well, I'm a free spirit. I don't listen to what any other person has to say. Well, they're more foolish than the rest of us.
Exactly.
You know that?
Yeah.
Because God Almighty has ordained it this way. How shall they call? Yeah, you got to call to be saved. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Because those who call will be saved, right?
Right.
But you got to believe before you can call.
Yeah.
But you got to hear before you can believe.
Yes, sir.
And you're not going to hear unless somebody sent to you with the message, right?
Yes.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody said, I don't need one. God says you do.
Exactly. That's it.
God says you do.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't say how shall they hear without preaching. No. But it says how shall they hear without a preacher. And let me tell you something. If anybody ever gets the truth of God, it will be through some other person.
Exactly.
Because the only way you're going to get the truth of God is through this word right here.
Sir.
And every bit of this word right here, though this is a translation, it's still God's word. And every bit of this come through men.
Yes, sir.
Didn't it? God Almighty did not write one word of this on his own and just give it to us. He used men to write this. Therefore, not a one of us. Everybody said, well, but God, I got the truth came to me directly from Scripture. Mine did too.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care if you were reading the Scripture directly yourself or I was hearing some men preach. It's still the Scripture that makes the difference. It's not the preacher that makes the difference.
Exactly.
It's not the man's technique that makes the difference, though God can use that. Mm-hmm. It's not the man's knowledge that makes the difference, though God can use that. It's not a man's doctrine that makes the difference, though God can use that. It's not his doctrine. There are some people who have far more profound understanding of doctrine than others. How much doctrine did the disciples know
exactly
when they were sent out? Huh? They knew very little,
that's
did
it.
They? They knew very little, yet they were still preaching, Mason, the gospel. The good news that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why is it at hand? Because the king's here.
That's right.
Huh? Wherever the king's at, the kingdom's there.
That's right.
Kind of similar to, you know, we have our, just as an illustration, we have our, what are they called in other, our buildings in other countries? The embassy. And it's called Sovereign U.S. Territory. Mason, that's our little piece of the USA over in other countries. You see, the point is, Jesus Christ having come in the flesh, the kingdom was here on earth.
Yes, sir.
Because the king was here on earth.
Amen.
Wherever the kingdom is, or wherever the king is, he rules.
Yes, sir.
He reigns. That's the kingdom. No, but think of it. Here our Lord Jesus Christ sent out 12 to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. And one of them was what?
Yeah.
A devil.
Exactly.
Well, somebody says you got to hear a Baptist preacher who heard a Baptist preacher who heard a Baptist preacher. That's not what it says.
Yeah.
It says you got to hear a preacher.
Amen.
Right? In some form or another, you will hear a preacher.
Yeah.
And how shall they preach except they be what?
Amen.
Sent.
Amen.
Now bless God, God sent Judas Iscariot, so that's good enough.
It's exactly
is it not?
Yeah.
Even though Judas Iscariot ultimately ended up doing what? Going to his own place.
Yeah.
You see, God doesn't use men to convert other men. He uses the truth to convert other men. But God uses men to preach that truth
exactly
to other men.
That's it.
And I don't care if you were reading a Bible tract, Scripture itself, whether you were reading some song written by some songwriter, or whether you were reading some commentary or some religious book upon some subject. Nevertheless, it had to be according to this order. It must be one individual person or one group of people, one human being expressing the truth of God to another human being, and that be the truth.
Yes, sir.
I don't care who that human being is.
No.
I heard quite a bit of truth, or let me put it this way, a probably a more accurate way of stating it. I began to hear quite a bit of truth from men that I wouldn't listen to any longer now.
Yeah.
Because I know that their overall message was not the message of truth.
Exactly.
But God Almighty, in sending them to me at that appointed time, gave to me the truth I needed, Mason, at that time.
Yes, sir.
And some of them even preached to me things they didn't even believe themselves.
Exactly.
They said to me things that later they reprimanded me for saying.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I began trying to teach about the election of grace. And one of the harshest critics I had, he was the first one that ever mentioned it to me.
That's right.
He was the first one that ever told me that God chose, his exact words now were this to me, God chose some people even in their mother's womb.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Isn't that what the book says? Now, Mason, yeah. That's truth. I don't care whose lips it comes from.
Exactly.
That's truth. Mm-hmm. Jack, if God wants to use that truth to convert me or anyone else, that's God's business.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't. The sower or the seed sower, the planter, and the waterer doesn't matter.
Exactly.
What matters? Was it truth? Did you learn it by God?
Exactly.
That's the fact. Well, what was it? Jonah was sent to the Ninevites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who is Jonah to be preaching to the Ninevites?
Exactly.
Jonah didn't even truly believe in sovereign grace till he experienced it himself.
That's it.
Did he?
That's it.
He thought he could run from God.
Exactly.
Until God taught him otherwise. And then what did he say, David? Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And it was, I don't think he forgot it, but he wanted to put that off to the back shelf.
Oh, yeah.
Because what happened when he got to Nineveh and he preached to those people to repent, what did they do?
Yeah.
They repented at the preaching of Jonah. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
And God did exactly what he had purposed to do for Nineveh through Jonah. And then what did Jonah do? Boy, what a great revival we've had in Nineveh this week. No, we went out and started griping and bellyaching about the fact that these Gentiles repented.
Yeah.
I think he was wanting to see the fire fall.
That's exactly.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I think Jonah was hoping, I'll go out here and I'll preach repentance to these people. I'll preach Yahweh's message, and then I'll see Yahweh act toward them in his wrath and in his judgment. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? Yahweh spared the people. Jonah ends up underneath a little old plant up there, you know, belly aching and sulking about the whole matter. That's what I call a real soul winner.
Exactly. That's it.
Huh? See, the reason is because he that plants and he that waters, they're not anything. That's not who it... Now, do they have a place to work, a place to labor? Yeah, they'll be rewarded for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Paul says? But yet it doesn't depend upon them. It is God that gives the increase.
Yeah.
You see, that's one, somebody said, well, that takes everything out of our hands. You ought to be glad.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because when you realize how corrupt your hands are,
yes.
It's good to know the salvation's of the Lord.
Amen.
And let me tell you, I'm not trying to be mean, but Joe, knowing how corrupt your hands are, mm-hmm. I thank God for you, but I'm glad it's not in your hands.
Exactly.
I'm glad it's not in my hands. I'm glad it's not in any man's hands. It's in God Almighty's hands.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. God will use whatever hands he wants to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of these so-called, and they may be. I'm not trying to cast a doubt upon their salvation, but I am casting a doubt upon their doctrine. These so-called grace people running around thinking that unless you're in a free grace assembly, there is no truth there. That's nothing but human opinion. Truth is truth is truth. I don't care where it comes from.
Amen.
I don't care where it comes from. And sadly, after listening to the attitude of some men on tape, I think there's more truth in some Arminian places than there is in some of these free grace people. Because they're actually putting salvation based upon what you know about God.
Exactly.
And salvation ain't about what you know about God.
No, sir.
Now, there is a knowledge that comes with salvation.
Yes, sir.
The point is, who taught you that knowledge? Where did you get that knowledge from?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me tell you something. You can be in an Arminian assembly, and God Almighty teaches you the truth. I don't care how small amount, Mason, of truth it is. If God Almighty taught it to you, you're taught of God.
Amen.
And that's a blessing.
Yes, sir.
That's a blessed state to be in. But if you can be in a Calvinistic assembly, and if everything you've been taught, the knowledge you have, has come simply from another man, you don't have anything. You have nothing whatsoever. You just got enough to damn you even that much more.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I actually believe when it states this, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
Yeah, we thank God for men. We thank God for the message. But it's ultimately this, we thank God for the truth. Well, that's what matters. Now, I know there have been some that have accused us, well, you believe God just uses anybody preaching any old message. If they're one of the elect, they just believe whatever that message is, and that's good enough. It don't, and I'd love to be able to say it to them right to their face. Don't you make your, you look too stupid when you talk like that.
Exactly.
You make yourself out to be too stupid when you conduct yourself that way. We've never taught that.
Exactly.
Salvation is of the Lord, period.
Amen.
But that Lord works that salvation out in a certain way.
Yes, sir.
But that certain way does not come through human opinion. It comes through God-ordained means.
Yes.
And if God could use a Jonah or a Judas, that's his business.
Amen.
Is the scripture not quite clear on that?
Yes, sir.
He used a Peter too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He used a Peter. He used a Jonah. He used a Judas. He used a Saul of Tarsus.
Yes, sir.
You see, it's not up to, again, I say it's not a man's technique. It's not a man's knowledge. It's not a man's doctrine per se. It's that man, is he preaching the truth?
Yes.
Well, somebody said, well, that man doesn't preach the truth. Okay. But has that person ever preached the truth? You see, if a man gets up here and reads the scripture, you know what he's done?
Yes, sir.
He's preached the truth.
Amen.
That's why Paul told Timothy, give heed to what? Even reading.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes that's the best thing.
Yes, sir.
Because what I say about it, David, can be distorted. Mm-hmm. But if I read God's word, you're getting the truth. Right?
Amen.
Well, but you know, people don't understand it unless you explain it to them. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. You see, one plants, one waters, but where's the increase come from?
Exactly.
From God.
Amen.
What did our Lord say? As it is written in the prophets, John chapter 6, and they shall be all taught of God.
Amen.
Every man therefore, everyone
that
hath heard and learned, and then it's qualified, how?
Yeah.
Of the Father. Now, if what you heard and learned is just of me, you got nothing.
Exactly.
That's it. I can say I'm sorry all I want till the cows come home. If what you've learned has come from me, you got nothing. But if what you've learned has come from God, you got everything.
Amen.
And I like to see, actually, our Lord changed that. Did you know that? He said, and they shall all be taught of God. That ain't what it said. But you know what? He's the one person that has the right to say it the way he wants to say it.
Exactly.
Because it's his word to start with.
Sir.
Now you know what the quote actually is, don't you? And all thy children shall be taught of God. Our Lord was saying the same thing. But Mason, you know why I believe he kind of, he didn't even say thy children. He said, and they shall all. What? He's already talked about it. All the Father gives me.
Amen.
Shall come to me.
Amen.
Who's he talking about? God's children. And why did he not say children? Because there were some people there that he was intent on them not learning that truth.
Yes, sir.
They're not going to learn it. So much so that at times, rather than giving them the clear statements of Scripture, he spoke to them in parables.
Yes, sir.
So they would not get it.
Exactly.
To make sure, I'm going to say it to several different, to make sure that they would not get it.
Exactly.
That's because it. They were never going to get it anyway.
Amen.
That's it. Somebody says God even makes it tougher on some than it already is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. You see, men will be judged by what light God has given them.
Yes, sir.
Right? I've used this passage over and over, but Peter says that there are some people that it would have been better for them not to have known the word of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Than after they've known it, to turn from it.
Exactly.
That's a scary thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, they think, Jack, here I am. I'm going to tell this person the truth. And when I do, I may compound their judgment, David. Mm-hmm. Because they may follow it for a while. But then in time of temptation, be like that plant that has no root. And when the trouble comes, they wither and die away.
Yeah.
They can't handle the tribulation. They can't handle the trouble. They are not so hungry and thirsty after Christ that they will follow him no matter what. And that's what Peter actually was basically saying when those folks left, when our Lord basically preached to them free reigning grace. And they winded up saying this, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?"
Exactly.
And it says, our Lord turned right around and then he said, "Now, let me explain it to you." And yes, it's hard, but let me try to explain it to you. He said, "I said it to you already. I'll say it to you again. No man can come to me except it were given him of my Father."
Amen.
Because that's the truth.
Yes, sir.
Christ is not dilly-dallying around with the truth.
Exactly.
He's not trying to persuade people mentally to come to him. He knows if they hunger and thirst after him enough, they're going to come to him.
Amen.
If they were given to him of the Father, they're going to come.
Yes, sir.
So he's not dilly-dallying around with this. And it says, from that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Amen.
And he looked at the 12. He looked at the disciples, it actually says. And he says, "Are you going to leave too?"
Exactly.
And Peter says, "I got nowhere else to go."
Amen. That's it.
And see, there's the difference.
Yes, sir.
How do I know I'm being taught of God? Can I lay up a step 1, 2, and 3 for us so that we can go through these steps and then say, all right, we're there. It's not that simple. But here's the point. I got no other place to go.
Exactly.
You know, Lord, to whom shall I go? You got the words of eternal life.
Amen.
That's the touchstone right there.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you can turn and walk away, then you got reason to doubt.
Oh, yeah.
But if you believe him, you trust him, you feast. He said, "You eat my flesh and drink my blood." Mm-hmm. What's he talking about? He's talking about consuming me, being hungry for me, being fed by me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go in here, if God willing, in a few moments, and we're going to eat, and I will enjoy it. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I mean, it will be a pleasure to put this in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And David, sometimes it's so good you don't even want to chew it. But when you get to chew it, it's even better. And you swallow it. You know, it may sound, it's a pleasure. It's a joy. And when you're done, it's like what? You know? That's what Christ's talking about.
Yes,
you
sir.
Eat my flesh. You drink my blood. Now, if you can try that and it don't satisfy you, you got no life in you.
Exactly.
Because he says, "You eat my flesh, you drink my blood," that's the people that have life.
Amen.
You see, dead people don't eat and drink.
Exactly.
Just living people. Now, he says, "Come to me."
Mm-hmm.
But, and he says, "Believe in me."
Yes, sir.
Are those things different? No. But he's showing, it's not just a mental assent.
Yeah.
But it's coming. You believe and you come to him. But these folks, if you look at it, they seen the miracles. They followed him all the way around that ocean, that sea, because of what they'd experienced. Did they not?
Oh, yeah.
Mason, they put forth the effort to do that.
Yes, sir.
They had waited there all night. When they woke up the next morning, and he wasn't there, and they evidently heard, well, he's gone to the other side. Well, they followed him all the way. You look at that.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty good-sized body of water.
Yep.
It took them the whole day to travel over there. And when they did, what did our Lord do? He preached free reigning grace to them.
Yes, sir.
You can't come to me. What do you mean can't come to you? We followed you all the way around this place.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? No, he's talking about something deeper.
Yeah.
Something truer. Something more personal. And he says, "You come to me?" No, but you got to believe on me.
Amen.
This believing and coming is related to eating and drinking my flesh and my blood. You've got to partake of me. And if you do, you have life. Now, here's the question. Let me tell you something. If you truly are partaking of Christ, you truly have eternal life. And only God himself can give you assurance in that. I can't.
Exactly.
Because there'll be times, now think about it, let's turn to John. See, I got just a couple moments. Turn to John 6. And I probably will begin there, Lord willing, next time. Because we're still on this thing. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. But it's got to be qualified. Believe how? Even as the Lord gave to every man.
Amen.
Now look at what our Lord Jesus Christ said. Verse 35 of John 6. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, are we to take from this that Jesus is trying to say that coming is satisfied, hunger is satisfied by coming, and thirst is satisfied by believing, as though they're two separate, distinct things? You see, usually a hungry person is a thirsty person. A thirsty person is a hungry person. Our Lord then drops the distinctions and then begins to talk about what? Coming, believing, seeing, eating, and drinking. And they are all simply different ways of defining the true. Because there are some people who have eat, but they've only tasted. You understand what I'm saying? They don't continually eat. And continually take. They've never truly seen. They seen Christ. But did they really see him?
Exactly.
Notice he says, and this is the will of him that sent me, verse 40, that everyone which, what, seeth the Son. So you got to see him as well, Mason.
Yeah.
But in what sense? You got to see him in here. And you got to see him from here.
Yeah.
See, because Christ is only seen through God's word. This is why so many people, I guess Penny and I were watching it too. I think Paul may have been there too. We watched it the other day, and there's a thing on the TV. They always have these things about the Bible, you know. And it was trying to show how, actually, it was actually to some degree a little admirable because they were trying to use archaeology to show how the Bible's true. But they're going at it the wrong way. You see, the Bible's true. I don't care what your archaeology says.
There you go.
Exactly.
If your archaeology disagrees with their Bible, you're either in the wrong place or you don't understand your archaeology.
Exactly.
Your archaeology may be in a different spot. You're in the wrong one digging.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's that simple sometimes. You're in the wrong blessed place. But it was, to that extent, admirable. But what was weird, they gave as truth all of those cuneiform writings on that Babylonian tablet.
Yeah.
We know this is the facts.
Yeah, exactly.
But what's wrote in here, that's what we're trying to prove.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't that amazing? Do you see what I'm saying? They'll believe what's wrote on some Babylonian rock scratched with pictures.
Yeah.
But in clear language,
yeah,
they won't believe that.
Exactly.
That proves it takes God to give the increase.
Yes, sir.
Don't it? It don't matter how good a man, how much a man knows, what his technique is. It doesn't matter what, I mean, there are some men that when I hear their preaching, it makes me feel ashamed of myself. Well, I think, man, that guy can preach, you know. And when he preaches, I get it, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not the man.
Exactly.
It better not be the man.
Exactly.
Because if that's all I'm getting, I ain't getting nothing, David. If all I'm getting is that man's technique, that man's knowledge, that man's doctrine, what have I got but man's technique, man's knowledge, and man's doctrine?
That's it.
But if what I got came from God, I'm glad I got it, and it's a good thing. It don't matter who I heard say it.
Amen.
Right? If it comes from that book, it's the truth.
Amen.
Father, I pray that as we continue here, we may fellowship in our mutual faith and repentance and love for one another. But may it be centered around the person and work of Christ. I ask these blessings, and we thank you for the food. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.